high school. I took multiple classes, just like you did. And one of the classes that I took, and I'm sure that most of you have taken or taken now, if you're a high school student or a homeschooled student, or an elementary student or junior high, you're taking American history. American history is a core course, I believe. I don't know how diligently it's taught. I know in the school that I went, the head soccer coach and the gym teacher taught history as well. So he taught history, and he was passionate about soccer, and he was passionate about gym class and physical fitness, but he was also passionate about history. And he made a good teacher in American history. We could learn quite a lot from him, and I did learn some from him. But as I revisit certain things in American history, I remember how much I have forgotten or had been laid aside, and I didn't remember certain things. Do you remember this? The unanimous declaration of 13 United States of America. That's the way this document starts. It is the unanimous declaration of the 13 states of the United States. It's the flag with the circle of stars. There's 13 states in the United States at this point in history, at this point in American history. There are 13 states in the United States. Now today we realize there's 50 states that make up the United States, but at this time there was 13 states. The 13 states were New Hampshire and Massachusetts and Connecticut, Rhode Island, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. Those 13 states were in unison declaring a certain thing. It will change all of history. Those 13 states had agreed, in American history, had agreed on a document that they were going to proclaim and unpack to the world. The document contained 329 words. But those 329 words will alter, has altered, and will continue to alter all of history. The Declaration of Independence, those 13 states had decided together that when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of the nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinion of mankind requires that they should declare the cause which impels them to separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experiences has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffering while evils are sufferable than to the right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they have been accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariable and the same objective, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism. It is the right in their duty. It is the right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient suffering of these colonies. And such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their form of systems of government. the history of the present king of Great Britain, in a history of repeating injuries and usurpations, all having in direct objection the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove these facts, let these facts be submitted to a candid world. And then they filled in the rest of it with 27 problems that they were having with the current government. That was July 4th, 1776, 244 years ago. It was a Thursday evening when those 13 states got together, and those 13 states had been navigating together, and those 13 states decided it was time to declare their independence, to declare the freedom from the government that was taking so much from them. But just so you know, there was a July 5th. There was a day when they had to put their money where their mouth is. There was a day when it was the next day, once this proclamation had been made, it was the next day they start to live in that proclamation. They had to live in that freedom that they just declared. They were going to declare our independence. We have been set free, but that freedom is not free. That freedom was very costly. The Revolutionary War did not end until September 3. 1783, 7 years and 2 months later, that proclamation was made on the 4th, but on the 5th, they started living in the freedom, and that freedom was costing them. For 7 years and 2 months, it was the Battle of Long Island, the Battle of White Plains, the Battle of Fort Washington, the Battle of Trenton, the Battle of Princeton, the Battle of Thomas Creek, the Battle of Brandywine, the Battle of Freeman's Farm, the Battle of Saratoga, the Battle of Fort Hill, the Battle of Monmouth, the Wyoming Valley Massacre, the Battle of Rhode Island, the Cherry Valley Massacre, the Battle of Stony Point, the Siege of Savannah, the Siege of Charleston, the Battle of Camden, the Battle of King Mountain, the Battle of Cowpens, the Battle of the Courts, the Battle of Yorktown. There was 1,547 known military engagements during the Revolutionary War. There is a responsibility. We've been given freedoms. And there is a responsibility to live in that freedom, but living inside of that freedom is not easy. Living inside of that freedom is not easy. 1,547 military engagements during the Revolutionary War. If you calculate that out over a 7-year period, it's 17 military engagements per month for 7 years and 2 months. 17 military engagements per month for 7 years and 2 months. Army soldiers served at the height of the war. 8,000 revolutionary soldiers died from wounds inflicted during battle. 17,000 soldiers died from disease during the war. 25,000 soldiers were estimated to have been wounded or maimed. 1 in 20 able-bodied male living in America died during that war. 1 in 20 able-bodied men died in that 7 years and 2 months. You can declare freedom, and you can know you have freedom. But living inside of that freedom, living out that freedom, is costly, because there's an opposing entity. There is an opposition to us living in freedom. There is an opposition to us living in freedom. Living in that freedom is an effort. There are those who endeavor to take that freedom from us. There are situations that will attempt to push that freedom aside. There are sacrifices that have to be made. There is a commitment that is necessary. You can know that you have freedom. You can declare that you have freedom. But living out that freedom, you start to meet the opposition in your life. The Declaration of Independence proclaimed freedom for the 13 states. On January 4th, 1776, But on July 4th, 1776, on July 5th, they started to put their money where their mouth was. They started to live it out, and it was costly to them. But they were determined to live in the freedom that had been given them. They gave it all. The freedom that the Declaration of Independence proclaimed and realized and still is being realized today pales only in comparison to the freedom that you have been given in Christ. But I'm here to say in my own life, living in that freedom that Christ has given me is costly. Will take commitment because there is an opposition to me living in that freedom. I want to live in those freedoms of the Declaration of Independence. And we know that our world, there's many that try to take that from us, in house and out of the house. But they are nothing compared to the freedoms you have in Christ. They pale in comparison to the freedoms you have in Christ. And if we don't think that there is an opposition for us, an opposition for you to live in the freedom that Christ has given you, we need to wake up, church. We need to realize that there is an opposition. There are those who are trying to steal the freedoms from us, our spiritual freedom. Romans 6 and 18 starts off this way. You have been set free from sin. He wanted the church of Rome. Church, you have been set free from the greatest enemy. Not Great Britain in 1776, but sin. You have been set free. You have freedom, declared freedom for your life. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been set free from sin. Woo! But now to live that freedom out, to live out that freedom. And to meet the opposition. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. You have been set free from the old. You stand anew. You've been set free from sin. You've been set free from the old way, the old you. And you stand in that freedom declared by the heavenlies, declared by Christ. Signed by Jesus in His blood on the cross. And now He says, live out that freedom. It's costly. You're going to have hundreds of battles. It is costly to live that freedom out. But it is for freedom, Galatians tells us, Paul tells us in Galatians, it is for freedom that you have been set free. Stand firm then. Stand firm and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery or the yoke of bondage. You have been set free. Don't let the freedoms be taken from you. You're free from sin. You're free from the old way. You're free from the enemy's grip. Now live it out. Hebrews tells us, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. There are things that bind us. There are things that are trying to take our freedom in Christ, just like there are in our country and in our world. And in the heavenlies, the battle is greater than we can ever imagine. We need to live out that freedom, the hindered and entangled. Don't let yourself be burdened again with the bondage. Don't put yourself back under that bondage. Get rid of the stuff that hinders you and that so easily entangles you, because you weren't meant, as believers in Jesus Christ, you are not meant to be burdened. You are not meant to be entangled. You are not meant to be tied up. You are meant to be free. There are opposing entities to our freedom. The Bible tells us that they're the flesh and the world and the demonic influences themselves are in opposition to your freedom. We'll do great things and make great promises and great Facebook posts about if somebody messes with my freedom. I'm telling us right now, somebody's messing with your freedom in Christ. And with the same or an increased zeal, but with at least the same zeal as the Americans that fought the Revolutionary War. And as the Americans of July 5th, 2020, with at least the same zeal, I want us to realize that our freedom is being hindered and entangled. Our freedom is trying to be stolen from us. Our spiritual freedom, our freedom from sin, and our freedom from the old me. To stand anew, to run in the new, to run in free from sin. There is an opposition in those that endeavor to take the freedom from me. There are situations that attempt to push freedom aside. The Bible goes on to tell us that there are things like anguish and pain and suffering and grief that'll try to bind you up, that'll try to tie you up. The psalmist, time after time, the psalmist is crying out to God. He is bound, or she is bound with anguish, or she is bound, or he is bound with grief and pain. He is tied up, and he doesn't want, or she doesn't want to be tied up with that anguish and that grief, and crying out to God, free me from this, because I'm not meant to be tied down with anguish. I'm not meant to be tied down with grief. I'm meant to be free and to run in that freedom. The Bible goes on to tell us that there are things like anger that'll tie you up. And there are many of people in this world, many a Christian in this world, many a believer in Jesus Christ that are bound by anger. Their anger's got them tied up and they're no longer running in the freedom that Christ has for them because they're so angry. They're angry and they're tied up. They're angry and they're bound. And they're angry and they're pushing them back into the old way of life. I don't want to be bound. I am not meant to be bound. I am not meant to be a slave. I am not meant to be in bondage to anger, to grief, to anguish. The Bible goes on to say that there are those that are bound by unbelief. The Bible goes on to say that there are those that are bound by fear. And we can see when David killed Goliath, a whole nation was bound by fear. A whole nation that was bound by fear because they did not dare face the enemy that was before them. And so the enemy had them tied up in fear and had them bound with fear. And they could not defeat the enemy in their life because they were tied up. The Bible says you can be bound with a religious spirit. The Bible says you can be bound with a judgmental attitude. The Bible says you can be bound with disobedience. And the Bible says you can be bound with hate and malice. New lifers, we are not meant to be tied up with hate and malice. We're not meant to be tied up with disobedience. We are not meant to be tied up with a judgmental attitude or a religious spirit. You can be tied up, the Bible says, by revenge. You can be bound by unforgiveness in your life. And that unforgiveness has got you so tied up that you can't run in the freedom and live in the freedom. There's an enemy that wants to take our freedom. And if we're not ready to stand and fight and live in that freedom, then we will remain bound by anger, bound by fear, bound by grief, bound by a religious spirit, bound by a judgmental attitude, bound by disobedience, bound by hate and revenge and unforgiveness. The Bible tells us that people are bound with apathy. You really don't care. this world's going to hell in the handbasket and you don't care. Just leave me alone. And you've got a non-caring, apathetical behavior. And you think that that's your right and that's your freedom. That's not freedom. That's bondage. The Bible says that you and the eye can be wrapped up with pride and evil and sin and selfishness. Those things will bind us, and we've convinced ourselves it's my right, it's my freedom to feel this way. You can have that right, but it's not tied to freedom. The Bible is clear that we are bound by sin. We are bound by selfishness. You have been set free to live in the freedom no matter the cost. You've been set free. To quote Braveheart, they may take our lives, but they will not take our freedom. I got on Grice's website, gun store from Clearfield, 2 days ago. I don't know. I don't have an AR-15. Thought I'd like one. And so I start searching down. They have 1,745 different guns on their website. Every single automatic weapon was out of stock. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of automatic weapons are gone. Somebody's bought them. I just wish I had that much, that we had that much commitment to living in the freedom of Christ. To living in the freedom from sin and freedom from the old way and the freedom to live for Christ. And not let myself be bound by these things that the Bible tells me that run me amok, that tie me up. It is for freedom one has been set free. Back to Hebrews 12:1 says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us, with perseverance, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for you. Don't let yourself be bound up, because there's a race. There's a purpose that you have been set free. There's a purpose that I have been set free. The writers of Hebrews said, don't let yourselves be bound up or tied up or entangled. Because there's a race for you. There's a purpose that you are here. There is a purpose that you have been set free. There's a purpose for your life. Jesus did not just set you free so someday you could be in heaven with Him. He set you free so you could be in freedom, so you could be living in freedom, because it is for freedom that He has set us free. You have been set free from sin. You have been set free from the old way of life, and it is for freedom that He has set you free. He said, now in Hebrews, don't let yourselves be tied up again with hate and anger and unbelief and fear. Like the psalmist, when those things become real in our life, cry out to a living God. Cry out to a living God and say, I am not meant to be tied up with this. There is a race marked out for me. There is a purpose that you have set me free. And I'm going to live in that freedom, a race marked out for us, running in freedom. This is my definition of running in freedom, is unleashing the kingdom of heaven in the here and the now. Your purpose is to unleash the kingdom of God. And we don't unleash the kingdom of God when we're tied up and we're bound up. Run in freedom. The enemy fears the one who runs in freedom. The enemy fears the one who runs in freedom. When the 13 colonies, the 13 states declared their independence, and then all of a sudden it was July 5th, and they started to live out that independence that he just declared, 45% of those who lived in those states, those who lived in this country, fought alongside of those for those freedoms. 20% fought for the opposing team. And 35% really didn't care. So I got to ask myself, am I a 45%, a 20%, or a 35%? Are we going to run in freedom? Are we going to unleash the kingdom of God in our world? Are we going to continue to let these things bind us up and tie us up? And to hinder our walk, and to hinder our witness, and to hinder what we have been freed to do. Galatians 3:5-13 says this, you, my brothers and sisters, you new lifers and visitors, were called to be free. You were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Choice! A choice! You got to make a choice! What side are you on? But do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Unleash the kingdom of God. That's what it's saying. Serve one another. Serve the people around you. Serve your community. Serve the nations. In love, that's why we've been set free, is that we can serve in love. As I started to process that this week, I said, God, what does that mean? What does it mean to serve in love? I can use my freedoms. I have been declared free by Jesus Christ, written in the Lamb's Book of Life. My name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, in the handwriting of the Father, and in the blood of Jesus. And he says, now use that freedom. Use that freedom not to engage in anything that you want. Engage in changing your world. And engage in serving others in love. And as I continued to process that throughout the week, different passages of Scripture came to me. And I said, God, I need to know. I want to know portions of what that means. How do I serve those in love? That's a pretty, to me, that's like the chap, like the title on the book. Serve one another in love. And then I wanted to know what chapter 1 and chapter 2, I want to know what each page said. In serving one another in love, what does it mean? What's it mean to serve one another in love? And he led me to a few passages. Let me proclaim them to you. And they're on your handout this morning. Psalm 84:6, as they pass through the valley of Baca, or dryness, or death, those we know from Psalm 84, he's talking about those who are living in freedom, those that are on their way towards Zion, those that are walking with God, those that are loving those around them and serving them in love. And as they pass through this valley of Baca, or this valley of desperation, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains and cover it with pools. They take this driest situation, those that are sold out, those that are bringing that service in love, those that are bringing the kingdom of God, those that have been set free and refuse to be bound again. They're bringing this health and this wellness. They're bringing this life to this dead situation. New lifers, that should be us. Whatever situation we're in, it ought to be better. Because the living God is there. Freedom allows us to leave the environment better than we found it. People that bring destruction to a place are not operating in freedom. And I would say that to anyone who is leading anything in this country. If you're destroying something, that's not out of freedom. That's out of your bondage. That's out of your hate. That's out of your anger. That's out of your unbelief. That's out of your malice. That's not out of freedom. Because those who are operating in freedom do not bring destruction. They bring life. And that's you and me. So let me read a few more here. 96 of Psalms. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. And I believe that as I read through 96 this week, and I believe God says when you run in freedom, there's going to be a new song. Because I am not stale. I am working in your life. I'm giving you a new song every single moment, every single day. Don't let yourself be bound and miss the new song that I have for you. Sing to the Lord a new song. I got to be honest, sometimes there's weeks and months before I sing a new song. And when that happens, that means I'm operating out of my bondage, not out of my freedom. Verse 2 of Psalm 96 says, sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Freedom allows us to be gospel proclaimers. And I would like to unpack that for the next 45 minutes. I don't know if you want it, and I don't know if my sweat level can take it. But your freedom that has been given to you by Christ, enables you to make a place a new place, enables you to hear a new song, to have a new song. It enables you to be a gospel proclaimer, a gospel sharer to those in this world that so desperately need Jesus. Verse 3, declare his glory among the nation, his marvelous deeds among all people. Freedom allows us to bear witness of the living God. And July 5th, 2020, God said, I have set you free. So that you can proclaim that I am a living God. That I am the God of Isaac and Jacob. And I am the God of Abraham and Moses. And I am the God of Ed and Bill. And I am the God of Randy. And I am the God of Arlene. And I am the God of those in 2020. The freedom that he's given us, the freedom that he wants us to run in, allows us to proclaim that there's a living God today. And he's in the world and he's changing lives. And some in this world and some in this country and maybe even some in this community, run this community, this country into the muck. That's not God's plan. He wants us to proclaim that the living God is working today. Verse 4. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. Freedom allows us to see the greatness of our God. Do we realize that that's why the enemy wants us to be bound and be tied up and be in bondage? Because if we begin to see the greatness of our God, if we begin to see and continue to see how powerful and how loving and how infinite our God is. If we begin to see how gracious and merciful and how loving He is, the enemy will fear us. The enemy fears those who run in freedom. The enemy wants to bind you up and put you in bondage. The enemy wants to take the freedoms that you have in Christ. Because the enemy does not want the kingdom of God released on this earth. Because the enemy wants to take bad situations and make them worse. Because the enemy wants us to shut up about Jesus. Because the enemy doesn't want us to see the greatness of our God. Because the enemy doesn't want you to have a new song. Because the enemy does not want you to declare and bear witness that a living God is real. July 5th, 2020. Let me end with this. Hebrews 12:2 says, fix your eyes on Jesus. He is the author and the perfecter of your faith. So turn your eyes upon Jesus. Do I have a nice three-step program for us to turn our eyes upon Jesus? I don't have it with me today. Whatever it takes, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. It is for freedom that you have been set free. But don't use your freedom to engage in the sinful nature. Use your freedom to serve others in love, to unleash the kingdom of God in this world. I am thankful for 244 years ago. And I live inside of those freedoms inside of this country that those people fought for. That 1 in 20 able-bodied men died in those 7 years. But I am grateful for the freedom that Christ has given me. And just like I want to live in the freedoms that this country has given and this country has fought for, I want to live in the freedom that Christ has given me. And I want to unleash the kingdom of God in a world that so desperately needs it. I want to run the race marked out for me. Let me pray today. God, thank You for these moments together. Thank You that You have bore witness with my spirit and our spirit that this is truth. I pray that You find us throwing off what hinders. I pray that You find us coming to You and saying, God, I am bound with anguish. I'm bound with fear. I'm not meant to be bound with judgmental attitude. Free me so I can run in freedom. Father, thank You. Thank You for this country. Thank You for Jesus. And on the scale, this country cannot even hold a candle to the light of Jesus. But I'm thankful for this country. And I want to run in the freedoms that Jesus has given me. I want to turn my eyes upon You, Jesus. I want to look full in Your wonderful face. And I want the things of this earth, this anger and this judgmental attitude, this sorrow, this grief, to grow strangely dim this pride and this arrogance and this selfishness to grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. Father, may you find a people here today that will wake up tomorrow morning again, July 6th, and live it out. No matter the battles that will come, no matter how many there are, no matter how much opposition there is, but you'll find a people that'll wake up on July 7th and live it out again, and July 8th and live it out again. Father, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this moment together. And Father, we lift all these things and we ask for the answers to this prayer. And we know that it's in the name of Jesus. So Jesus, thank you. And Jesus, it's in your name that we come to the Father. So in Jesus' name, amen. Have an amazing day. Different now.